Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot is daf Kuf Hei. And yesterday we began the new perek, and we can review that very quickly. Starting on Kuf Talad Amud Beit, Shnei Dayanei Gezerot Ayu Birushalayim, Admon V'Hanan Ben Avishalom. So these two Dayanei Gezerot, we don't know exactly what Dayanei Gezerot mean, but as we're going to see, these are people that were koveya particular dinim, that were essentially knasot, so that we could determine, predetermine certain types of suits, that this is the standard payment for this type of thing. And we didn't have to get into exactly what the particular value of the particular thing is, as we'll see. So those are called gezerot, and they basically smooth the way for the judicial system. And they also mean that we don't look just at damages. We look at what someone who is negligent, what we are mechayev him to pay. So if he's going to pay more, so then it'll be a knas. So these were two particular people, Admon and Hanan ben Avshalom. And this entire perek is going to be based around Piskei Halachos that these two Dayanei Gezerot had said. And in each one of them, the Chachamim argued with them. So the perek is going to go through the various issues that are brought up. And since what we're talking about over here is one of our big sukkahs and ksuvahs, and this was the question of mezainos and what to do when you're collecting from a husband who is not there, and therefore he can't defend his interests. So what is the din? So we start off with that case. So this was one of the two things that Hananet said two things, and one of them was, Mi shalach l'medinat hayam, v'ishto tovat mezonot, Hanan omer, let her only take the shvua at the end meaning after she comes to collect the ksuva. We call that at the end because, remember, once she comes to collect the ksuva, she no longer has mezonot. So let her swear at the end because she's only going to be able to collect her ktuva after she is nishba'at that her husband didn't give her anything that she's holding that ought to be taken off of her ktuva and so on. But she does not have to swear lo tishava b'tchila while she's getting her mizonot, and that way she's able to collect directly and not have to go through a shvua. B'nei kohanim gedolim nechluku alav v'yamru tishava b'tchila ubesof. Omer Reb Dosi ben Urkanes k'divrehem and Omer Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai yofa machana lo tishava l'besof. So we end up having machlokes at the end of the Mishnah between Reb Dosi ben Hurkanes, who agrees with B'nei Kohanim Gedolim, because, I mean, if you think about it, what good is the Shvua Besof? I mean, do we know that after 5-10 years of being Mekabel Mizonot, how do we know that she isn't going to die? And she'll never come to collect her ktuba, and she'll never, ever make a Shvua. And like, so why should we be willing to give her money before she swears? That's the B'nei Kohanim Gedolim. Okay, so let's begin. We are up to the Gemara, and that's where we had gotten up to yesterday, and hopefully we'll be able to go beyond this daf today. So we started off first. I mean, we just want to know what exactly these Dayanei Gezerot and how was this arranged in Yerushalayim? So it said there were two Dayanei Gezerot, but I mean, in the Bright that says that there were three Dayanei Gezelot in Yerushalayim. And they were Admon ben Gadai, Hanan Mitzri, Hanan ben Avishalom. So, I mean, it's very weird. And then obviously the simplest solution to this would be is that the two cases have nothing in common. One are Dayanei Gezerot and one are Dayanei Gezelot, and that maybe these are totally different things and that there were a different number of Dayanim in them. And that would be the answer. Your question is the answer. If you're questioning why here it says Gzerot and there it says Gzerot, so that's your answer. So Tosfos says because it's extremely unlikely that after there were so many available Dayanim in Yerushalayim, as we're going to see, and that we should just by coincidence have two of the same Dayanim working as Dayanei Gzerot that are working in Dayanei Gzerot, why would we do that? If it really is two separate types of batei dinim, so then There shouldn't have been two of the same people that were there as the Dayanei Gezeirot. That's why the Gemara takes for granted that the answer isn't childishly simple, that we're talking about two different types of things. And therefore, what bothers us is Kasha Tlata Tree. And the Mishnah has two, and over here it has three. And then the other thing that bothers me is, like, what were they called? Were they called Dayanei Gezeirot? Or were they called Dayanei Gezeilot, like it says in the Braita? Look, I mean, you can't really ask on a contradiction where over here it has two, in the Braita it has three, and that doesn't mean anything. I mean, because remember, now, the truth is there's two ways of learning these next words. D'choshiv le'katani, d'lo choshiv le'lo'katani would usually mean that the person that is more choshiv, he mentions. And therefore, he didn't want to mention the Hanan HaMitzri. So that is probably not the pshat, because there are indications that actually Hanan HaMitzri is more choshev than Hanan ben Avishalo, as he appears here in the Braita before. And that the real meaning of the choshev le, as Tosis points out, could be the things that he's interested in, whatever he is going to be discussing. So the Maisa, the only thing that this parak focuses on, are the Piskei Halachas of these two people. And that does not include Hanan HaMitzri. It includes Hanan ben Avishalom, and it includes Admon. So because of that, we're interested in setting up the parak. So we say there were two of these Dayanim. Here are the things that ended up being controversial, in things that between the two of them, they had issued Piskei Halachas that were controversial. And that's going to be now the rest of the parak. Mashenkin, why should I mention Hanan HaMitzri? I'm not going to be talking about him in the parak at all. So I'm not going to be choshivli. I'm not going to be talking about him. And as far as the contradiction, are they called Dayanei Gezeirot or are they called Dayanei Gezeilot? It's not a problem. Because basically, all you go Zring Gezeirot al Gezeilot. I mean, the idea over here is that what we're talking about is that these Dayanim specifically standardized damages. And what we mean by Gezeilot is money that is going to be taken shelo kedin, in which case people, because these things involve people that did damages that they shouldn't have done, could have been avoided, they were negligent, and so on. So that's included in the overall concept of Gezeila, where a person isn't makbid on other people's money. So they made these gezeirot on these kind of events, which are gezeirot. So it's the same thing, basically. That's not the idea. For instance, if I give you, for instance, you know what I'm talking about? Like the Braita. Braita says, suppose you let your behema into someone else's rishos. So now he's damaging Rishut HaNizek. And he ends up biting or stepping on a tree that you just planted, on a netiya. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gozrei Gezeirot Yerushalayim Omrim, there's a standard payment for this, okay? Because remember, in terms of being able to collect nezek, you got a real problem, because you're going to have to end up assessing what the field was worth with this particular sapling that was planted yesterday and what it was worth before. I mean, come on. I'm not going to get any money out of a guy with that type of assessment, that difference of one sapling in a field. So because of that, those are the deoraita ideas of nezek. But over here, we want to avoid people doing these kind of things and the breakdown that comes from it. So these Dayanei Gezeirot said, listen, I don't even hang what it was worth in terms of the standard assessment of a field. We are being koveya that the loss of a sapling to someone means he's going to have to get involved. He's going to have to call a gardener. That's what we want you to pay. So we insist that under those conditions, if it was within its first year, you have to pay two ma'ot. If it's already in its second year, you have to pay four, and so on and so forth. So the idea is that we make things streamlined, and we also make it very usable, and that it turns out that the din prevents people from doing what is essentially gezeirot, not caring about other people's money. All right. Vramin, ask the Gemara. The question about this braisa that we had was Admon Hanan HaMitzri and Hanan ben Avishalom. There's another braisa that said Shlosha Dayanei Gezeirot Ayu Birushalayim Admon Hanan V'Nachum So now this is an entirely, well, how come Nachum is included over here? What's exactly going on? Omrif Papa, because it was Rabbi Nassim, Mantana Nachum, that's Rabbi Nassim. Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Nachum Hamadai, was among the Geuzre Gezerah to Yerushalayim Hayu, and therefore what he wanted to mention is that Nachum Hamadai, who was very chashuv, was also involved in the same thing, and he should be listed among them. And that's going on Libet Rabbi Nassim. They disagreed with Rabbi Nassim. So that Bryce doesn't talk about Rabbi Nassim's Nochum Amadai is going Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? There were only three Dayanim in Yerushalayim, the two Lekha, the Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. You should know that there were 394 separate Batei Dinim in Yerushalayim. It's a little bit weird because Rashi over here says each one of them was Chof Gimel Dayanim. It's just like each one of them was a Sanhedrin Ketana. And Rashi elsewhere says that that there were only three Sanhedrin of Chof Gimel Dayanim in Yerushalayim. So it's not much, but a standard Beis Din Yerushalayim was 23. So I don't know. Maybe there's a different result. Anyway, these 394 Batei Dinim, there were the same number of Batei Knesiot, 394 Batei Knesiot in Yerushalayim. If you want to get a sense of how things have developed in Yerushalayim, there are currently over 4,000 Batei Knesiot in Yerushalayim, listed by the Moetzah Datit. So that's pretty amazing. And even if you want to go and look, only we don't count the shtibel, only a Beit Knesset that's included in the Igud Batei HaKnesiot. There are also 1,910 Batei Knesset in the Igud Batei Knesset. So you get a sense of the growth of Yerushalayim. And we had the same number of yeshivas, 394 yeshivas, which I would guess. See, here the problem is you can't get a listing of the number of yeshivas, obviously, because what one group considers to be a yeshiva, the other group says, that's a yeshiva? You're going to include Merkaz Harav in a list of yeshivas? I've actually had that reaction. So you're never going to get a clear internet solution of how many yeshivas are there in Yerushalayim. So you can look in the yellow pages. I looked in the yellow pages. Okay, so about 300 listed in the yellow pages as yeshivas. But I mean, how many yeshivas are listed in yellow pages? Yellow pages don't have any meaning anymore.
And so, did Rebbe look up under Bet Midrash and under, right, the different words that they might have named?
I looked up under Kolel and under Yeshiva. No, I didn't look under Bet Midrash. But I have a feeling it's far more than the 394. Okay, and the same thing is true of the Kenegda, but they saw Frim, the number of Chadarim also for 394. Says the Gemara, of course, there were plenty of Dayanim Tuvahavi, but we're talking about over here, about a specific expertise, which is Gozri Gezerot. And look, that's basically, I mean, why we have this argument about between Rabbi Nassim and the Chachamim, about whether we should even include Nochem Amodai. So this is a unique kind of thing. Omer Vir Omer Vasi, Gozrei Gezerot Shebirushalayim, Hayunot Lim Secharan, 99 Mone Mitrumat Halishka. So these Gozrei Gezerot, in order that they be free from any other responsibilities, the Chachomim decided that they should be paid out of the Lishka Sagazis, and we're going to get on later on maybe tomorrow's time, it'll probably take till we get there, of the other things that were special takonas that we paid out of the Trumas Alishka. Trumas Alishka, of course, was the money that was given from the Machatz HaShekel. And Beis Din, as we've seen before in Masechet Shkolim, about the various things that Beis Din was masne that could be utilized from the Trumas Alishka. So one of the things that was taken from the Trumas Halishka was 99 mona per year was taken out to provide for these Batei Din. Lo ratzu, but if that wasn't enough for them, and they said, no, that's not enough, we're not going to work. So then Mosifim Lahem. What? What are you, crazy? That's outrageous. What do you mean that's not enough for them? What, the guy wants to have a high standard of living? I mean, obviously, if we were koveya, that's sachar. So then that means that we were aimed on the fact that that was sufficient. So what does that mean? Otu perishia, we're talking about rishayim that are going to want more money than they are supposed to be given. Remember, you're not allowed to take money for the services of doing mishpat. You can't take money for that. The most that you can do is that it's mutter for a tzibor to be defined for an individual. We want you to be left outside of any kind of need to be concerned about doing things to make money. So you'll be able to concentrate entirely on this. That's fine. But you certainly can't do more than the minimum. So why would we have allowed someone who insists on more money? No, it means just the opposite. Lo sapku, if this amount of money was not enough for their family, afal pi shaloratz, Mosifin aleim, what it means is the opposite, that even though they refused to accept more, nonetheless, we would force them to accept more. Now, there was another way that we could provide for a dayan, and it's a little bit iffy. And this is very, very nogea lahalacha in many things today. So Karna, he was not appointed as a judge that was paid out of the community funds or out of the Trumas Halishka. And what he used to do is he would say to people who came to him and they asked him to be a dayan, he would say, well, I want both parties to pay me a nistra, which is a chatzizuz, and that way I'm able to be mafsik what it is that I'm doing, and I'll take out the time and I'll be done. What? Doesn't it say that you're not allowed to take bribes? What do you mean? I mean, the answer is obvious, isn't it? It's not a bribe if both parties are paying money, and therefore it's for the purpose of providing the dayan services. How could that be a bribe? So, maybe you'll tell me. Where did the Torah say shechad lo tikach? That's only where you're not being paid by both of the people that are coming to the din. That's because you may end up dilma'ati latzliyedina. If you're taking only from one side, so then even if that side is saying, I'm paying you in order that you should do the din, the other guy doesn't have money, and I want, even so, that you can't do because it could lead to perversion of the din. But Karna, that's what you're trying to tell me. That Karna kim de shokam itaravayu, lo'ati latzliyedina. Mashain came taking from both equally means that there can't possibly be a concept of shochad. Is that true? Vatanya, we have a bright that is exactly the opposite. That shochad has nothing to do with the problem of the possible corruption. That's not, surprisingly, the issue. And take a look at the brisa. Vatanya, mishochad lo tikach, mata mudomar. What, you think that the meaning of taking shochad means not to take something that may end up perverting that the chayev is called potter and the potter is called chayev? That's already included in lotate mishpat, right? So what would be the additional nekuda over here? Anything that would be netiyat mishpat is already included. So ela must mean afilo lezakot et hasagai. Even if the problem over here was to make sure that this person, the dayan, would actually be certain not to be, let's say, under pressure from other people that were trying to get the atayad din, he just wanted to make sure that you do the judgment correctly. It's still us. Omra Torah, v'shochad lo tikach. So it would still be considered to be something that is going to destroy your ability to judge. And that would be even in the event that both of them are paying. So once we're going to see later on the insight into the way that shochad works, and the Gemara is going to explain it. And it ends up being a tremendous chiddush, in which case even if the Dayan is mekabel from both sides, does not mean that he's free from the damage of Shochad, as the Gemara is going to point out. So in any event, if we have two different dinim, one which is called Lotate Mishpat, and the other which is called Shochad Lotikach, so how do we get around that with Karna accepting payment? Says the Gemara, hold on a second. Hani mili echad shokel b'torah shochad. The only time we say that something is shochad is where we're not trying, chas v'chalila, we're not trying to pervert the halacha. What we're trying to do is to make certain. So let's say one of the Balei Dinim feels, you know, this person's under tremendous stress because this thing is a case of a big company, and he's afraid the company's going to come again, whatever. Let me make sure that he doesn't feel that he's overstressed. And I promise you, believe me, you're not going to end up losing. Just do what is correct. That itself is called shochad. So, but that's only where it's given in terms of make certain that you do the right din. Even the right din, that's called shochad. Masha Einkin Karna b'torat agra habishakel. Karna was saying, listen, I'm putting out a lot of work into this case, and I need to be paid. No, says Gemara, you're not allowed to be paid. U'b'torat agra mishari. I understand, it's not shochad, fine. But you're not allowed to take payment either. V'atnan, hanotel sachar ladun dinav b'telim. If somebody takes an actual payment just as a judgment fee, it's not in any way connected to the totsaot of the din. It's just the guy is saying, listen, I'm putting in work and I need to be paid for my work. I can't work for free. All of the judgments that he issues are bato umavoto. And this doesn't matter. So in other words, if he's accepting from everybody the same. And this we know, this the Gemara learns out from Re'eli Madati Eschem. Remember, this is the same basis of the Isser to pay even somebody for teaching. Re'eli Madati Eschem Chukim U'Mishpotim Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. The Gemara says, Ma Ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. So the way that Moshe Rabbeinu himself learned, it was absolutely free. So he's going to be over on that. So how can he take sachar? Answers the Gemara, Hanimili agardina, karna agar betela habishakel. So to take money for judging is absolutely awesome. But to take money to make up for monetary loss, which is the agar betela, that is what he was doing. What? Says the Gemara. Even agar betela is not mutter. So note how we're going here, right? So we started off to be ma'aves the din. That's not to be matad din. To take from both sides, that's considered to be shochad. Then we have to be taking it for just your schar for working. No, you're not allowed to do that. Then we said just to make up for the money that you're losing. Nope, you're not allowed to do that. So agar betela mishari. What a disgusting person if he takes money to do a din. But nonetheless, din. It's a kosher din. So let me ask you something. What are we talking about in this case of Mechuar Hadayan? Are we talking about Echidomi, that he's taking actual work payment for being done? Ilema agardina. Then why would we say that the din is a kosher din? We just learned a minute ago. Hanoto sachar ladun dinav betelim. Ela agar betela. The only thing it could mean is that he's taking money because of the loss of his other income. And it says over here, what a disgusting dayan. Mechoara dayan. So that means even this is no good. Answers the Gemara. Hani mili betela de lo mukha. And karna betela de mukha vishakya. This is true. If what you're calling schar batala is, well, if I don't make a living out of this, I'm going to have to go make a living as a taxi driver. And then, of course, I'm not going to be able to provide these services. Okay, when we see you working as a taxi driver, you know, and you park your taxi and come into the Besdin, then we'll pay you for your lost taxi income. But don't give us this garbage. Well, you know, I could be making a lot of money as a big high-tech multimillionaire, you know, so therefore that's what I should be paid as a dayan. Okay, when we see you doing that, we'll pay you for the hour loss that you suffered. Okay, then that's exactly what the case was with Karna. Karna was a nose. Now, a nose always has money because, I mean, everybody needs a nose, right? So anybody who's got a wine cellar, anybody who's manufacturing wine, it's only the nose knows. And therefore, it's a tremendous expertise. They would bring in Karna. Karna would give one sniff, would tell you how the wine is doing, how much longer it should be stored, whether it should be sold immediately. That kind of thing is constant work. So here we're about to have a comment from Barnea's neighborhood, who knows a nose.
I just took two couples, and one of them had been Napa Valley for decades. He's tasted thousands of wines. So on the second, he said, the Cabernet is still fighting with the Merlot, and the Petit whatever hasn't worked it out. This shouldn't be served for at least 3 to 5 years, like Caja. It was a type of grape that they only found here and there. So he said, I never tasted this. Mamish knew. So we bought a 2008 Merlot from a certain winery, Shmita, from 2 years ago. I served it at my grandson's bris. And somebody else who knows wine said,
it's my neighbor's neighborhood. I told you. Go ahead.
And somebody else who knows wine, but my daughter-in-law said, they said, this is on the edge. I called the winery and I said, the other ones you have from that year, you should serve now because they're about to go. And they thanked me. Mamish lemaisa.
Okay, you should be zechet to more simchas, which is the essential point.
Amen. But wait, yesterday was the first ever conference on Yavne. I spoke, talking about David Amai's work. I was sitting next to the excavator of Beit Sharim. I said, you know, it's in Daf Yomi these days. She said, what? I said, Beit Sharim Tzipor Rebbe. My daughter sent me a note, you know. It's what a world.
Very nice. Okay, beautiful. All right, so Lemaisa, that is, now there's also a beautiful rush on based on this Gemara, that the rush sends a message to the Kehilas. And it says, be modia to all of your kehila, that the only thing that's considered to be schar betela is this type of thing, such as Karna and the next case that we're about to have with Rav Huna. Like, Rav Huna ke aviati dina lekamei, if Rav Huna had to dana din, he would say, but only if he was in the middle of work. So he was in the middle, let's say, of irrigating his field. So he would say, Havuli gavra dali bibacharikai, bring someone here, please, who is going to continue the work of irrigating my field, and then I can come. But I can't be mafsid my field because your din needs the din. Those are the examples in which the Rosh brings. You see that this is what we mean by schar betela, and not schar of some type of possible imaginary grand money that I'd be able to be making. That's not called schar betela at all. There's a famous Rav Avadya Mibartanura that led to a lot of harsh kind of writing, in which the Rav Avadya Mibartanura says, I heard about these dayanim in Ashkenaz, and incredibly, there are supposed dayanim where the rabbi charges asara zehuvim to give a get, and the edim, they charge one zohu to sign on a get. And I'm telling you, who knows if such a get would ever be kosher? A dayan that takes money for his services, all of his dinim are puzzle. So then maybe his gitim are puzzle. And all of this money is pure gezela, and he's mechuyev to give back all of that money that he's taken. I said, woo! You can imagine this didn't go over too well in Ashkenaz, right? But there's a lot of discussion about these kind of minhagim, as you can imagine. Omer Rabbi Abahu, bor e kama simuyot ineyem shemekablei sachar. Ashokat, take a look at how crazy, how blind the people are. This, of course, is based on what we just understood. It's Ya'aver. So,
Rabbi, does the Rosh say Dafka these cases or cases and their luck? Dafka these cases, the Rosh.
No,
are they Dafka these cases or cases like these?
Like, of course. It has to be that it's obvious that he's literally losing money. So what have we done so far? I mean, look at the different madrigas that we've gone through. In the event that we're talking about an interaction where the judge is asked to actually pervert the din, that's included in Lo Tata Mishpat. We said that comes prior to Shochat. So that was level one. Then we said to accept even a Shochat that was just to make sure that the judge is able to be done without undue pressure from another side. That's the Yisr of Shochat. Then we had even being paid for the job is usher because of Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. That's a different madrega. And all of those cases, the Gemara said, forget it. It's botel mavotel, even just the last case of taking money for the work of the din. Then we got into even lesser things that means to take schar batola, where the batola is not immediately visible. That is also usur, but it's not going to pass on the din. All that we say is that the dayan is a disgusting person, is mechuar. And then the only thing that is mutter is level five. Level five is where it is clear that he's currently losing money. Then you can make up for that money. So Rabbi Abbahu says, take a look at how blinded people are. If a person had an eye disease, okay, how much money would he pay to cure his eyes? Think about it. So Adam Choshbei Nav, he's going to pay whatever the eye specialist asks him to pay, Chas V'Shalom, to lose his eyesight. And how often does the eye specialist have an idea what he's doing? Who knows? Safek Mitrape, Safek Eino Mitrape. And over here, these idiots, they're willing to take a Shava Pruta, which could cause them to be included in the Hashochad Ya'aver. And they are 100% blinding themselves. Shenema Ki Hashochad Ya'aver Pikrim. They will become blind. Unbelievable. Tana Rabbana, Ki Hashochad Ya'aver Einei Chachamim. So we have, remember, we have two different psukim. So one we have in Shmos, and one we have in Dvarim. Hashochad Ya'aver Einei Chachamim, specifically. So what's the Chachamim? Kal v'chomer letipshim, v'yisalef divrei tzadikim, and it ends up perverting even tzadikim. Kal v'chomer l'rishaim. What? I understand tipshim and rishaim. They can't be judges anyway. So what's the point of saying kal v'chomer? I mean, v'chi tipshim v'rishaim b'nei dina ninu. I mean, they could never be judges anyway. El achikama. Ki hashochad ya'aver einei chachamim means that this is a process. So this person is a tremendous chacham. He could be a chacham gadol. And he accepts whatever is technically shochad. Then you should know that he's eno niftar mina olam below samuyot aleim. He is going to end up having no capability, no sensitivity to being able to distinguish. His powers of avdola are destroyed. So he started off on that path, say 5 years ago. At this point, towards the end of his career, he's insane. And if you give him shochad, imagine what's going to do to him. And he has absolutely no idea that this has happened to him. That's the point. That's what we're saying. Kol shekein the tipshim. The tipshim is the same chacham. But we're talking about after some time of his career. At that point, he's totally mad. And that's the point. V'yisalef divrei tzadikim. Afilu tzadik gomer v'lokeach shochad. He becomes completely confused with his das. Now, note the difference. When you were talking about chokhmah, it's your ability to utilize your chokhmah to be able to discern. So you need to be in absolute command of your powers of discernment. A person who's a tzaddik is there's something completely different. That's how he relates to things. Tiruf Hadas means that he can no longer be sensitive even to appropriateness in terms of tzedek. That's a different concept. Ki Yosu Rav Dimi Omar, Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Koyen, Mai Dechtiv Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Eretz, V'Ish Terumot Yarsena. What does it mean? A person with Terumot. It means like this. If a Dayan, because we're talking about Mishpat, a Dayan is like a Melech, meaning that he is completely independent. He doesn't need any favors from anybody. Then a person like that, Yamid Eretz, he will allow the survival of the earth and make it stand straight. But if he's an Ish Trumot, meaning even if he's a Kohen who's going around to collect Truma on the Gronot, that means that he needs people. If he needs people, then he is in danger of being susceptible to all types of pressures that are brought on him. That's not the person who will be Ma'amid Eretz. Remember, guys, we have a strange concept of din because, unfortunately, as I was talking about on Hashanah Rabbah, because of the weird system of values that we think has something to do with the Torah system of values. And so we think of din the way Goyim think about their courts. But the idea over here in which we put together tzedek u'mishpat, so this becomes now Avram Avinu's din, right? This is his concept. La'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. How does that relate to tzedakah u'mishpat? Isn't that the opposite of the midah of Avram? It's supposed to be chesed. The point over here is tzedakah u'mishpat is all of our dreams for an honest world, a real world. Who would not want that everything that he does should be the correct thing to do? That's the nature of tzedek and mishpat. Who would not want that all of the horrors that we see going on, destroying the earth all around us, that there should be a concept of people whose concern is to be minding the arets? That's tzedek. It doesn't have to do with bringing suit. It has to do with the way in which you look at life. And this is tiruf hadas, not to understand that the little bit of damage that you do to honesty and propriety and decency and trustworthiness, every bit of it is another act of destruction of the world. In the same way you wouldn't go and kill an elephant that is the last of his. It's exactly the same thing. What do you think you're doing to the earth? This is not esoterica, ma'amid aretz. This is serious ma'amid aretz. The entire planet is collapsing because of this complete insensitivity to the idea of tzedek u'mishpat. But, I mean, the way it's translated now, people are worried about that everything has to be covered by a law and everything has to be covered by somebody suing you. And so it's stuck beyond belief.
Omar Rabbah, I think there's a classic example.
Sorry?
South Africa, where they were so particular to having the best democracy in the world, the best laws in the world, yet corruption reigns high. It's completely falling apart. Complete destruction of everything that was.
Yeah. Omar Abba Bar of Shila, Hai Dayana de Shoyal She'ilta, Posel Amed Andina. And there's two approaches to this. A Dayan, who needs to borrow things all the time. So he is Posel from Din, because again, he needs people. There's another place where we use the same idea in this. If he has to ask questions from other people, tell me what should I paskin, then he's Posel for Dina. Lo Amra, nevertheless, Leili Shoy, it's only where he doesn't have things that he lends to other people. Then it's a mutual relationship. That's part of living. Then letlanba. Letlanba? Is that true? But Rava, we said over here, Rava, he would borrow things from the Vebar Marion, even though he didn't have any things that they needed to borrow from him, because these were the Yesomim of Bar Marion, and they were very rich. No, but he did that because he wanted people to see them as important people. Rava goes to them and Rava borrows from them. So he wanted to make them choshev. So since they were nenet from it, that's not considered as his being in any way beholden to them. So also lachashvui hudaboy. Oh, my Rava, my time of the shulch. What is the meaning of this whole wild idea of a concept of shochad that is not a function of Hatayas Din? Now that's amazing, right? We just discovered that what everybody thinks is shochad, that's not what shochad is. Okay, so because that comes under lo tateh mishpat. So what is the basis of this new concept of shochad that is even to be motzi the din correctly? The point is that given the kabbalah shuchta mine ikra vele daita legabei v'havi kegufe ve'in adam ro'eh chova la'atzmo, and that's the meaning of the word my shochad shechad. Shochad means that your mind becomes interwoven and you are now of one mind. If you're of one mind, then you cannot think about yourself, and it doesn't matter at all what the specific issue is and so on. The problem is that if you try to be objective about yourself, you're never objective about yourself. So therefore, your powers of discernment are destroyed, and there's nothing that you can do to change that. So what you are absolutely certain is not Hatayas Din, and it's just the correct way to see it, and you're thinking about it properly in every way, that is a disaster. And based on that, says Rav Papa, Lolida Ninesh Dina Lamandarochim Le Velolamandisanile. Someone that you have any level of love for, or someone that you dislike, you cannot be a Dayan on. Now, this is not, as Tosis points out, not to be confused with the issue of a sone or an ohev, which we discuss in the sugya of Eidim. We're over there. A sone is somebody who hasn't spoken to a guy for 3 years, and an ohev is talking about it's a shushpin, the best man. That, of course, is a completely different issue. And there we're talking about a real psul. Here we're talking about all of the cases that we're about to bring in a moment, which everyone except the Rambam learns is a chumra b'alma, it is not an issur d'oraisa. It means someone that you've connected to for a moment, and that connection does the same thing as the shuhuchad does. It simply makes it impossible for you to think about. And the Gemara is going to bring some examples. So the reason is, says Rav Papa, the rochim lo chazil lechova, you can't really entertain the sides of what is wrong with the person that you love. And the sonile, it's very difficult for you to entertain what would be the tzad to be melamed zchus on what he does. Omar Abai, I'll tell you something. If you find a Talmud Chacham, he's very popular. So sometimes you find rabbis that are popular. Very difficult to find, but it happens. You can be sure it's not because he's a good rabbi. It's because he's never bawling them out about how rotten they are. So they're, wonderful rabbi, so tolerant and so on. And that's the problem. Omar Rava, you know, I used to think, when I first came to Mechuzah, I used to think, you know, I get along so well with everybody here in Mechuzah, so that's where his place. And I assumed that these people, this was a very high-class community, Mechuzah. I was like, okay, I figured these are people, you know, they live on the west side. They understand that sometimes I have to pass it against them. And I used to think, yes, we're all friends. But then once I became a Dayan, I realized, some of these guys really hate me. That's the ones that I paskin against. Some of them like me because I paskin like them. That's nothing to do with me. Even the chazoy, the manim b'chayvli, I didn't know kazaki l'macha. Then, as I was there for many years, so then I saw that, you know, it sort of goes up and down. So maybe 5 years ago, I paskin against him. Then I was public enemy number one. Then there was another suit that he bought 5 years later. And then I paskin for him. No other Dayan you can go to except Rava. He's the only one with brains in this town. So I understood that. So today it's this way. Tomorrow it's that way. So then I saw, you know what? What's left after all of these years is imiracham kulurachimali. You know, if basically you're telling me that it all adds up in the end, so then there's absolutely no connection between how I am done, whether it's in his favor or against him, ultimately, that's not going to be the reason they like or dislike. So then there's got to be some other issue about me and the way I run the entire kiyiva. So, okay, if I find that they like me, so then it's probable that I'm doing it right, and they all like me. If they hate me, I can assure you that they all hate me, and they're just acting nice. Tan Rabbanan. Shochad lo tikach. By the way, no, let's go into this first, okay? Because I wanted to tell you about Chazon Ish also about this issue. Shochad lo tikach. Eino tzarich lomar shochad mamon. Obviously, we don't need to mention that we're talking about you can't pay him, which is straight out. I mean, that's the concept of money. I am putting value on particular kinds of results, and that's horrific. So that's a given. But even shochad dvarim, dvarim means anything, not just words, but anything that you would do that would make the dayan feel close to you is also considered to be usher, because it doesn't say betza lo tikach. Remember, we always refer to taking betza kesem, that's betza, but over here it's shochad. And the shochad, as we just saw, is a concept of kiruv hadas, shechad. So hechi domi shochad dvarim. So like once, Shmuel was crossing over a bridge, and it was unsteady. And a guy comes by, and he gives Shmuel a hand to make sure that he doesn't fall. So Shmuel said to him, what are you doing here? He says, no, I came here because I have a din in front of you in your business. So Shmuel said to him, well, I can't be your dayan. I can't be a dayan to somebody who gave me out a hand that I shouldn't fall. Or a Maimar. Now, Maimar was sitting once in judgment, Mamish, and a feather fell down onto his head. There's something of a bizoyan, you know. So somebody came, so he flicked the feather off of his head. So Amemar said to him, why are you here? He said, I came for a din. He said, I'm sorry, but I can't be your dayan after you flicked that feather off my head. Another, Marukva. Marukva was about to step on some spit that someone had spit on the ground. So a certain guy comes along and he puts some dirt on it before Marukva got there. So Amale Marukva asked him, what are you doing here? And he said, I have a din in your bezdin. Amale, I cannot paskin for you. Or Rabbi Shmuel Berbios, Shabbata, Kanta de Pere. So he had a sharecropper. The sharecropper was mechuyev to bring some of the fruit every week. And he always brought it on every Shabbos. It was his own fruit. And one day, he shows up on a Thursday with the basket of fruit. So Rabbi Yishmael said to him, why are you here on Thursday? I thought you'd come on Friday. Well, my life, I said, because I saved myself a trip. I had a din in your best. And so I figured, if I'm going to be coming anyway, I might as well bring you your basket of fruit. So Rabbi Yishmael refused to take that basket of fruit. And he told him, I am posel l'cha l'dina. And instead, what he did was Otiv Zuzid Rabban, and he appointed two Dayanim that they should be the ones that start the din for him, and then Kedayina, like they should select another one. Fine. So he said, these two people are very choshev, they should be your Dayan. Now, as he was walking afterwards from this, he experienced the most amazing thing. So he's walking back and forth, Rabbi Shmuel, and he finds his mind, wherever he's going, is constantly thinking about things that this guy that he never accepted the fruit basket from, that this guy could have said in his court. So he's thinking, you know, oh, I hope that he says like this, you know. If he wanted to, he could have said this. And then he thinks later, oh, and he could actually have said that. And then he would have been Zeicha. And then he says, oh, my God. These guys should drop dead. Take a look. I did not accept anything from this guy, right? I told him I refused to take his basket of fruit. It was my own fruit, for God's sake. I refused to accept the basket of fruit. So, mani shalonatalt. And even if I had accepted the basket of fruit, he didn't give me anything. It's my own fruit that he owed me. And take a look how all day long my mind is working because my mind has become his mind. So what can I, the same way that you find your, you find your own mind talk, constantly wandering in ways in which you can somehow find some kind of advantage. I can't believe it. My mind talk became his mind talk. It's incredible. Can you imagine what would have happened to me if there was anything that actually passed between us? This was just the thought that he had. And look what happened to me. So, Mekabli Shochad, Alachat Kama Vekama, imagine the impact of a Mekabli Shochad. Now, Chazanish points out that the same Rabbi Yishmael, whose mind talk was the other guy's mind talk, appointed the Dayanim for the case. So the question is, why isn't the appointment of the Dayanim itself considered to be an outcome of a selection process in which subconsciously Rabbi Yishmael's mind was actually being influenced by thinking about who would be the person that would most likely be favorable towards my Aris? So the Chazon Ish has a very long and detailed discussion. He brings many examples in which he says that the thing that is destroying Klal Yisrael at this point is the fact that people take from the concept of Shochad, they allow that to make themselves believe that whatever it is that Talmidei Chachamim say, you don't have to worry about. Because they're just saying it because they're members of this political party. Or they're just saying it because they have this yeshiva in mind. Everything is all about Shochad. Here you see, says the Chazon Ish, that there's two completely different inyanim. The Shochad is a specific application in the construct of din. It does not mean that a Talmid Chacham is unable to be misgaber over his personal nitiyot and to be able to determine what path to take, who to appoint in his particular position, how to take a stand in a government issue, and so on and so forth. You see exactly this point over here, that when it came to the din, so there was no way, this is why Rabbi Yishmael was so marked, but there was no way that he wasn't going to be influenced. Why? Because Shochad is magic. That's the point. Shochad, it has nothing to do with the Netiyat HaDin. So you cannot work when there's this connection between you and the Baal Din. This has to do with love. This has to do with the identification of self. It has nothing to do with undue influence. And that's the point of the Gemara. If it's you, Shochad, you cannot think about yourself objectively. That's the bottom line. But if it's a question of being influenced, so then you take into consideration the influence and you actually work on making sure that you compensate for those influences. We're not talking about human beings as supposed to be completely without any connection to the things that they're doing. That's insane. But you cannot have love and you cannot have anti-love because that makes people one, or it forces people to be two. And that's a completely different issue. It's amazing. So it's a large tickle, but you really see, and you hear drushes about this all the time, that, you know, a person can't judge because he has, take a look at what a little bit of Shochad does, and a little bit of Shochad means that you can't think properly. So because of that, how can you trust these people? Obviously, this is their job, and this is the political party, et cetera, et cetera. And so then ipso facto, any Talmud Chacham or any Gadol Hadar has nothing to say about anything because of the fact that he's taken Shochad. And that's the whole point. I can tell you who the correct Dayanim are. But you just said you can't be done at din. What does that have to do with this? That's between me and you. It's a completely different issue.
But in Ogea with a Hashkafa, if the person has a particular Hashkafa, doesn't that bend the objectivity?
Of course. This is a major circuit. It's not so partial the way the Chazon Ish makes it a little bit when he was at the beginning of this horrific approach. Okay, there's much more to be done on this issue, of course. It's one of the most important questions. Another example was Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael bar Elisha, Aitilehu gavar eshet hageis, amarle mehechad. So a guy brings Rabbi Yishmael bar Elisha, who is a kohen. So he brings him eshet hageis. So he says, I'm from, where are you from? He says, I'm from such and such a place. So he says, what? You bring Reish HaGeis from such and such a place to here. You're telling me between such a place and here, you never met a Kohen along the way you could give a Reish HaGeis to. Why are you bringing the Reish HaGeis here? You must have bumped into Barnea somewhere. I mean, nobody can go that far without bumping into Barnea, as everybody knows. Omar Lai, so he says, no, I brought it over here because Dina Itle, and I have a Dina in your business. So I figured I'll bring it to you on the way. Omar Lai, what are you, crazy? But you're going to bring it special to me? So then I'm puzzled for the din. And I will not accept this from you. Absolutely not. And he also was Osib Lezuga de Rabbana, because Mish brings this case to Osib Lezuga de Rabbana. And then here, the same thing happened to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha. All day long, he's suffering from this mind talk in which he can't get his mind away from what this person could have said and should have said this. And so the whole day he's saying, you know, Iboy Tainachi, and then and he also said, look at this. Tipach nafsham shom bekabli shochat. Umani shulo natalt. Vim natalti. I'm taking it as a coin. A coin is a right to raise the gaze. And nonetheless, take a look at my brain. Kach. Mekabli shochat alachas kama vekama. And there was another miser with Rav Anna. Rav Anna naitale ahu gavra kanta de gildoni de begili. So Rav Anna was given by a guy a basket of these gildane, some say it's a kind of fish that lives between gile, which are, you know, a seaweed. Omar Lay, so he said to him, what are you doing here? Omar Lay, Dina Itli. Absolutely, I will not be Makabal. And Omar Lay, Pasinu L'Chaladino, I can't be your Dayan anyway. Omar Lay, so the man said to him, look, I didn't come here to influence your din. I don't need your din, okay? I'll go to another person, that's fine. But I came here to bring you this because it gives me an opportunity to be makriv bikurim. So please, whatever you're going to do, be possible for me, Ladina. But kabuli lakabul, Mar, I want you to be makabul, this gift from me. This is the closest I can get to bringing bikurim into Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, the ishba mi ba'al shalisha, la'yavela ish Elohim lechem bikurim esrim, Lechem Saurim the Carmel Betziklono. Okay, so it's sort of mice. They didn't have food. Elisha didn't have much food, and he was the Isha Elohim. So he brings in Bikurim bread. What the heck is that supposed to mean? So the Bikurim bread was 20 loaves of bread that was made out of barley. Plus, he brought him also these new grown kernel that is still yummy and soft. So we don't understand what that. What do you mean, Bikurim? Elisha wasn't eating Bikurim. I mean, he wasn't in Yerushalayim. He was in the Shomron. What was he eating Bikurim? And he wasn't a Kohen. Elo Malach Kola Mevi Doron Talmid Chacham Kilu Mekri Bikurim. That's good for what it's coming to tell you. That is Bikurim. So then Rav Anna said to him, "Okay, I didn't want to be Makabalit for a Matana Kabuli Lo Bina Dikabel." But now that you're telling me that you want to be Zeicha, to be Makrif Bikurim, so then Mikablina, and we know, we understand now, normally we learn from here that even if you passed yourself, you still can't accept it. Masha Inkain, if the person wants to give it and explains the basic giving has nothing to do with the din, if you've already passed yourself, Ladina, then you're able to be Mikabla. So now, he was willing to take it. And because of that, take a look at this incredible story, mind-boggling story. So because of that, he sent this guy to Reb Nachman. And he sent a note to Reb Nachman, please, Nedaini Mar Lahai Gavra, could you please take over the din on this person? Because I'm not allowed to be Dani. Reb Nachman gets the note, and Reb Nachman says, well, if Reb Anan sent me such a message, apparently this guy is a relative of Reb Anan, because why else is he puzzled to be a Dayan? So if that's the case, what should I do? I was about, according to the docket of the court, I was about to be done a din for Yitomim. And now Reb Anan's relative comes to me. So then it's a mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah to be Mechabed Reb Anan. So I should really do first Reb Anan's din. So what do I do? I say, the mitzvah of Ushfatitam Tzedek is a mitzvah saseh. But Kavod HaTorah is also a mitzvah saseh. So normally, Shafatitam Tzedek, part of Tzedek, think about that. Part of Tzedek is the first person that came here and was sitting here for the din is to take his din. How do you feel when you're sitting in a line and somebody comes in front of you? That's tzedek. That is an issue of tzedek, of gezel. It's not that it's irrelevant. He was not nice. That's not the point. Okay. So shafatatam tzedek would be mechayev of me to take the din of the assignment that was on the docket. The problem is that there's a mitzvah saseh to be mechabe tamir chachamim. So I'm going to keep a relative of Rav Anan, I'm going to keep him waiting. So what he did was he put off the din of the assignment and he brought in this guy who Rav Anan had sent. But when the guy who was the defendant saw the covet that happened over here to the person that was suing him, and Rav Nachman took him before the Asami, he said, oh my God, I'm so confused. I mean, now I see the way Rav Nachman is giving covet to the guy who's suing me. I can't even get my dinas together. So because of that, he wasn't able to put together his arguments. He was distraught. So because of this, Rav Anan used to have a Seder with Eliyahu HaNavi, and that Seder became what we have as the Sefer of the Seder Eliyahu, right? Seder Eliyahu Rabba, Seder Eliyahu Zuta. Eliyahu stopped coming to the Chavrusa with Rav Anan. He refused to learn with him. So Rav Anan made a tainis, and it was mispalel, that istalik, yosef, tanisa, boy, rachme, and Eliyahu came back. He realized what he had done wrong, that he sent him, and because of that, even that caused such a disaster. And Eliyahu said, well, you don't think about the possible outcomes of what it is that you do. What are you, a shmo? I'm supposed to be sitting here learning with an idiot. I don't learn with a guy like that. So anyway, okay, so he did tshuva, he made a tainis, he went ahead and was mispal, Eliyahu came back. But from that point on, he was not on a madrega to be able to learn with Eliyahu. So Eliyahu would show up, and he would start trembling and shaking and falling to the ground, and he was unable to have a chavrusa. So he had to sit in a box. He had a box made where he was able to learn with Eliyahu, but only over Zoom. So that was the Avimavish labels. He was terrified. He made an tevuta, and then he sat in the box when Eliyahu came so that he wouldn't have to be terrified until Eliyahu finished learning with him this all of the halacha. And that's why today we have a Seder Eliyahu Rabba and a Seder Eliyahu Zuta. The Seder Eliyahu Rabba is not the way most people learn. The Seder Eliyahu Rabba is when he was a big man, Rav Anan. So then he could tell him over the halachas that were the more chomer halachas that he was teaching. The Seder Eliyahu Zuta was learning with already a cheapo who was no longer on the same madriga. The simple meaning is that there's far more material in the Seder Eliyahu Rabba than there is in the Seder Eliyahu Zuta. But then that doesn't explain why we should split it up into two completely different things, right? So that's amazing.